While many industries have been reeling from the effects of COVID-19, the travel and attraction sectors have been especially hard hit. On this episode of our One in Review, we find out how outdoor theme park operator and developer Seam Leisure Group is navigating this new normal and is recovery in sight. Joining me now on the show is Seam Chu King. He is the founder and CEO of Seam Leisure Group. It's a pleasure to have you here today, Seam.
Pleasure talking to you, Cynthia.
Tell us more about this place, Escape at Paradigm Mall. I understand that it was recently opened, just last year, in the midst of a pandemic.
That's right, yes.
Did you anticipate a recovery when you started this one?
Well, we actually, I was very hopeful that the pandemic would be over maybe a couple of months after we opened. Unfortunately, it went on and we had to close. And then it went into MCO for 3 more months before we are allowed to open again. But the results has been very encouraging. We have been doing well even though during the RMCO and now CMCO.
Tell us about that recovery. Are you seeing 100% capacity at the moment?
Well, you know, this Escape Challenge Park, this is a prototype. So we were expecting doing some 200 customers a day, and we were consistently getting about average of 100 during the RMCO. So that's better than what my expectation.
Now, I understand Seam Leisure Group has a big portfolio, a lot of them located in the Middle East. And tell us more about that. How did you start the business? Let's go back, now back to day one.
Well, I got into the industry by accident. I worked in the leisure industry, in the theme park industry for 3 years. And I realized that, you know, I don't fit in as an employee. Oh, I couldn't take office politics, so, you know, like many parts of my life, it's all born out of frustration. So I left my job and not knowing what to expect, and I decided it's enough. I wanted to do my own business. That's how I started.
That was in the early 90s, right?
Yeah, that was in 1993 to be exact. So, well, it was a tough decision, but I think that was the best decision of my life, not knowing what to expect. And sometimes in life, we have to give up something in order to realize, you know, you have to leave the shore in order to see the new frontier. So I actually didn't know what to expect to do business, how to do business. I left my employment, a well-paid job, and I sold my car to fund my business. That was quite scary. And business did not do well for quite a while. It took me about more than a year in order to gain traction in my business.
Which was your first project?
My first project was a local project in Perak, in Semanggol, Bukit Merah. So we were doing a small design job, and we were refurbishing the wave pool.
So is theme parks, the leisure industry, is it something that you have had a passionate since you were young, or is this something that you saw, hey, there is a business opportunity, I'm going to quit my job, sell my car, get into it? What was
Well, I say that it's accidental, but then as I was doing it, I realized that I'm good at it because I draw a lot of inspiration from my childhood. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a kampong.
Itam, right?
Yes, I grew up in
Penang Boy.
In a place called Tien Teck Estate. So we were farmers, we were peasants. So we lived off the land, We played, we climbed trees, we learned to swim in the river. We really had a fantastic childhood. And that gave me a lot of inspiration. And it wasn't until 1998, the year when I was living in Vietnam. I actually live in the kampong again in Vietnam while building a theme park project for my client. And I saw my childhood again. I relived the second childhood. And that was, I was so sure that this is it. Why can't we draw inspiration from my childhood and build theme parks based on how children used to play? And that was it. That was the light bulb moment of escape.
That's one. The first escape was in Teluk Bahang in Penang.
Yeah. However, of course, like many great ideas, you know, it was conceptualized, and but you know, nobody really believed. For the next 14 years, I actually went on, as I was doing projects overseas, I was introducing, we were designing and building theme parks for our clients. So I was trying to introduce this new concept. Nobody bought the idea. You know, nobody wanted to try. Everybody wanted the big monumental roller coaster parks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it went on for the next 14 years. Until the opportunity came in 2009, when I came back to, I was spending a lot of time in Malaysia because of our Singapore project, Universal Studio, and also the Legoland project. The new government called for new ideas for, the new Penang government called for a new idea for their new tourism vision.
So that's how Escape.
Yeah, well, I felt, you know, I'm a staunch Penangite, and I wanted to help my birthplace. So that was it, and I stuck my neck out. And, well, you know, it wasn't easy. We tried to raise money for my dream project, and I failed. So I had no choice. I lowered down the budget, and I used my life saving, and that was 8 million ringgit I saved over the years, and I put everything into the project.
And it paid off?
Yes, it was a very, you know, a scary moment for me as well, because even Cynthia, when we first opened the first day, it took us an hour before the first customer came. And the first few days, I thought this was going to be a dead duck. Nobody have ever heard of Escape, what this kampong concept, you know. So everybody knew big brands like Disney's and
Correct,
Universal
yeah.
Studio, this kampong boy trying to do something.
But you have also been involved in quite major projects around the world. So you conceptualized and developed the Universal Studios you mentioned, Sky
yep.
Egypt, and then there's also the Yas Waterworld in Abu Dhabi. So quite an extensive range of theme parks that you have undertaken. How did that start, that shift to global, and particularly in the Middle East? Because I did read about your beginning. I know you were going into some pretty tough markets, talking about Eastern Europe, former Soviet Union, Yemen, Syria.
Yeah.
How was that?
Right. It all started in Vietnam. Then, you know, I had a project in the south of Vietnam. I moved to the north of Vietnam. And I'm the only guy that was doing the startup management, transition management for theme parks. That means I would help the client build the park, manage the park for a season or two, and then I moved on, hand over to the local management. There was actually a niche demand for such service. So, and it's a very niche industry. I do get inquiries. Those days, there were already internet. So I get a lot of inquiries for my services. That's how I moved from Vietnam to Armenia in Eastern Europe. Then I went on, came back to Bahrain. I was in the Middle East. Then I went back to Bulgaria. and we were all over the place. That's how we started. And the actual turning point was post 9/11 in 2002. There was a boom in the Middle East, and that's when I decided that, you know, this is a place I'm going to spend a lot of time there. So I actually, until today, I've been a resident of Bahrain and UAE for the last 18 years.
So how has the pandemic impact your business and you personally as an entrepreneur? When the pandemic happened last year, what went through your mind? I mean, if you look at leisure, travel, attractions, these are industries which have been hardest hit by the pandemic. Yeah. Did you have a game plan when that happened?
You know, in my career, I've seen the first Gulf War and the travel industry went to a halt. But it was only for a couple of months. That was in 1991, the first Gulf War. Then I was also in the Middle East during the second Gulf War, and in the Middle East everything stopped, but it was never ever like this. You know, all by nature entrepreneurs are very positive people, so I thought this was going to be, you know, a setback for a couple of months.
Yeah. And
that's it. And it went on. This is already the 13 months, 14 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I'm happy that I'm still sane. You know, it's driving me crazy. You know, life is full of anxiety. All the travel industry, the entire travel industry has been affected, and including the attraction industry. We are not spared, yeah. To be honest, you know. However, we are not that adversely affected, you know, because when I started the escape concept, we embark on a low capex, low opex business model.
Yep.
There's a lot of emphasis in our the way we do things. We are very efficient in cost management, and that is very important, you know, as in any other businesses, the ability to downscale,
yep,
fast enough in order for you to survive through this period. Well, you know, they are also, ironically, this pandemic also provided us with opportunities, you know.
Where are those opportunities that you're seeing?
Well, number one, I think post-pandemic competition, there will be less competition. You know, the survival of the fittest, this is a free market economy. So some of the parks that have not been, some of our competitors who have not been very efficiently managed, they will go out of business. The other opportunity is that we see a lot of some of the distressed businesses,
yes,
they are in need of rescue, and that is when we come in, and that is the, yeah, acquisition of Kidzania.
So let's talk about that. Kidzania was loss making even before the pandemic.
Yeah, I would say that, yes.
What led to you buying it off Khazanah in Boston?
Oh, Kidzania is a brand that I really admire, you know. Being in the industry, I see Kidzania is probably the only brand that one of the few brands that I really admire. And it's a big brand, and I see the potential. I know the numbers, so the number is there. You know, the number of visitors there. What we have to do is just have to apply our way of doing things. We have to be very careful with, we have to run everything efficiently. And we are looking at other acquisition as well. You know, it will not stop here. There are several fronts that we are working at as well.
In Malaysia or outside?
Outside.
Let's talk a bit about Kidzania. What exciting things can we look forward to from Kidzania? I mean, I know it's predominantly a kids entertainment learning center, but what new changes will you bring to the brand?
Yes, you know, it's a very common question people ask us. What changes are we? Physical changes, I think it's not as important as most people think that it is. I think what's most important for us is the service level,
yep.
Customer experience. That is the first thing that we are doing. We are straight away after we took over in December, we work on that customer service. And the other thing we work on is the ticketing solutions.
Yes.
Which we believe that it has to be cutting edge, meaning that we go all out online, digital. That is to be in line with today's digitalization of businesses.
When I told my friends that I'll be speaking with you, and I told them that you guys own Kidzania, and one of the things they asked, would you ever make a Kidzania for adults?
The Kidzania Kuala Lumpur, it has been a version 2.0.
Okay, how so?
Right now, our licensor has already introduced Kidzania version 4.0. Mm-hmm. So this is what, in the midterm plan, I think we expect to be able to, post-pandemic, within the 12 months, we would like to see the transformation from 2.0 to 4.0.
What does that entail, that transformation?
Well, that's exactly to answer your question or your wish of having parents, adults involved. 4.0 is more relevant to today's industry. You know, you have YouTuber, you have, drone pilot and so on. And also a lot of the activities, the conventional activities such as, fast food outlets or restaurants where we will have parents and kids involved in doing the role play. So this is actually, we are already making some changes. You'll see these changes in the next few months.
Yeah.
So we want more parents to be involved, and that is the vision of Mexico as well.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk a bit about Escape. This is a brand that is very close to your heart. This one in Paradigm is a bit different from the one in
Penang
in the sense that it's located within the mall.
Yeah.
What is the strategy here? Is this something that you're looking to replicate in your next ventures?
Absolutely. See, the purpose of us doing the one in Penang is to create a prototype, a showcase of a escape theme park. This one is Escape Challenge Park. Yeah. So the mall version for the urban population. So this is a smaller, family entertainment center, outdoor, using the escape ethos and philosophy. You see greens, you see all these climbing activities, but in an urban setting. So Escape Challenge Park is actually bringing outdoors, indoor. That's the whole concept. And our plan is to replicate this business fast. During this pandemic, I've been working on a lot of business development. So we are looking at a few locations already. We reckon we will have about 5 Escape Challenge Park in Klang Valley.
In Klang Valley alone?
Yeah.
Okay. When are you looking for that to materialize?
Well,
what's the time frame?
Well, we are, I would say, post-pandemic, the moment the pandemic is over, maybe they always say that 75% of the population vaccinated, I think things will move very fast. Yes, we are in negotiation with many of the mall operators.
Right, okay. Now I want to shift gears and talk about leadership, to tie all this back with leadership, because what the pandemic has done, it has put leadership to test, like a real test, right? So what were the philosophies that you, that's close to your heart and that has somehow helped you in this difficult period?
Yeah, this is a correction. It's like stock market going through correction. Yeah. Any economic challenges, whether it is economic recession or pandemic like this, most of us have never expected. It's a trying time for businesses. And I think it boils down to the changes in the demand, yeah, and also the restrictions. But because of that, the shrinking economy, the shrinking demand, how many businesses are able to weather through this storm? It depends on how much fat you had. Yeah, the more fat you had, the lesser chance of you being able to survive. And that is very key to businesses. Unfortunately, a lot of businesses leaders don't realize this. During this time, we have to look at cost management. I talk about cost management in my business because, partly because I come from Penang, we are very good, we're very tight with our money. We're very careful with our money. Cost management is not a very cool subject for corporate players. You know, being stingy is taken in a bad light. Of course, being careful with money is very, very important. Yeah, business is very simple. Your revenue minus your expenses, that is your profit or loss. Yeah, if you are able to, well and good, if you can increase your revenue, that's very good. In a time like this, you can never increase your revenue is going down. So how are you going to manage your cost? That is when it comes to play. Our low cost, low capex, low opex business model during this pandemic has, proved to me that, from the beginning, we designed the business to be this way and it has worked in our favor.
And you're also taking some chances, like you mentioned, acquisition. So this was open in the middle of a pandemic. I think it was August, Paradigm Escape. Yep. Bought Kinzania also last year.
Yeah, to entrepreneurs, this is in our nature. We don't take chances unnecessarily. We understand the opportunity, and we work relentlessly to make sure it works. Mm-hmm. So of course, yes, to most people, and saying that, oh, during this time, why are you? Yeah, well, you will never get it. You will never, during the pre or post pandemic time, you don't have that kind of opportunity. So, like many other businesses, they acquire other businesses as well, other business entities as well during time of distress.
And how do you keep employees motivated during such uncertain times?
Well, motivated, that's a buzzword, isn't it? We get employees who share the same vision as us, who wants to be part of the winning team. I think it's the employees who understand what we are doing and they love to be part of the champion. Mm. That's most important. Leadership by example, walking the talk. Yeah. So if you want your staff to work hard, the leaders have to work really hard. And walk the talk. That's important.
And how are you feeling about recovery at this point in time? We are not under MCO, but cases are rising. We are seeing second, third wave of infections elsewhere in the round world. Will we recover to 100% capacity soon?
In our the attractions industry, it's taking I believe that the light at the end of the tunnel. It's nearing.
Okay.
There are some changes also to the attractions industry. I think we have to recognize the fact that international travel, especially with the border still closed, it's not going to be happening very soon.
Yeah.
I do foresee that at least another year, maybe 2 years, people are beginning to feel comfortable to travel. So are we in a position to adopt the changes of the demographics? We don't have international tourists coming in, and that is why one of the things that we are blessed, this is not exactly a tourist destination.
Yep.
Escape is recreational and also tourism. Therefore, we have the domestic market to tap from. And that's why, also I like to say that when people don't travel, you know, that also means that Malaysians don't travel abroad. So they stay in.
So you have a captive market.
That's right. That will make up the loss of the, to make up the tourists that come in. So, you know, many of our customers who would never come to our park, you know, they would go to Hong Kong, Singapore, but now, you know, they would come. And that's, I don't see that much of the changes.
All right.
But it's important because I think in the attractions business, in areas where it's highly dependent on foreign tourists, well, it's going to be quite bad. In places like Johor and Sabah, they are very dependent on foreign tourists.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sim, for sharing your insights and also strategy to navigate this uncertain times. It's been great to have you on the show. You have been tuning into our One In Review with me, Cynthia, and we'll see you again in the next episode.